Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers Show. I'm your host, Virginie Boone, along with co-host Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. But mostly enjoy wine, don't you think?
A lot of enjoying wine. Because what's the point of anything if you're not enjoying wine?
I think we do enjoy wine.
A lot.
That might be the... That might be what's so good about the good stuff.
The good stuff.
All right. We're getting silly now. So who do we have today? Who's visiting us?
Yes. I'm really excited about today's guest, Honor Comfort. She is at the Wine Institute, but my history, friendship, and relationship with her goes back to literally day one, essentially. Actually, pre-day one in my role at Sonoma County Wine Growers. So when I joined the Wine Grower team, Honor was running the Sonoma County Vintners, one of our partner organizations that made up the trio slash tripod slash trifecta or whatever it has been affectionately known for over the past decade plus. And I had such an instant connection with her. She actually was part of my interview panel, the intimidating boardroom of like 15 people sitting around a table throwing questions at me. And I think we got into a fantastic debate about sort of wine labeling and appellations and all of these things. And I think just really connected there. And then when I was offered the position to do the marketing and then get promoted to running the organization, some of my earliest conversations, honestly, learning a lot about Sonoma County and the wine industry. I get to credit Honor for a lot of that education and just having the opportunity to watch her talk about Sonoma County and share what she loved and what makes Sonoma County such a special place. Like I knew all of those things. I felt them. It's why I moved here and why I loved being here and why I was excited for the job. But it was so great to have a mentor and friend in that role that I could really learn from and glean all sorts of valuable trivia facts and data and information and ways to describe things. And it just was great. And now she has gone on. She left the Vintner, so I still haven't quite forgiven her for that.
I don't think anybody has.
No. So we'll have to talk to her about that and why and now. But really importantly, and which I love, I mean, I think associations play such an important role in what we all do and the fact that no one grower or winery typically can do enough, has the bandwidth or even the resources to really think about promoting a region such as Sonoma County, let alone a state like California, let alone a uber region like the United States and the wine community here. So associations play a really important role in that. And so I'm excited that she has transitioned into an even bigger role representing wine on the state level, all of California wine, but really on the global stage. And so it's been fun to be reconnected as she moved into that role. And so lots of things to talk about, endless things to talk about today.
Well, and a longtime resident of Sonoma County as well, based in the Dry Creek Valley.
Yes.
A vintner, which is also, I think incredibly relevant. And
yes.
And maybe adds empathy to how hard that can be to grow grapes and make wine, even in this beautiful place called Sonoma County.
Yeah,
so that perspective is helpful.
Yeah, and I think and so much energy and sharing. I mean, it's like you said, you have to really be in it to appreciate everything that goes into it, right? So I think, you know, it's been helpful for me to have a small vineyard over time and really be in the throes of, do I have a contract for my grapes? Oh, what's happening to the vineyard? Rain is coming. Are we going to harvest or not? Like all of those things that you live with makes you, I guess, more appreciative of what our farmers and our winemakers do every day. So
we have a lot to cover today with Honor Comfort. I look forward to the conversation. Who knows where it will go?
Probably so many places. I can only imagine. I've been known to shut down restaurants with her. So, you know, we can talk about that too.
Shut down or kicked out?
They actually didn't kick us out. They kind of just shut the lights off after the lunch session.
Oh, it was lunch. You got kicked out at lunch.
Well, they stopped pouring us water and stopped talking to us. And then when they were ready to open for dinner, all of a sudden, like, the lights kind of went
and
up again.
And then
they started bringing us water again and offered us another beverage. But, like, they didn't kick us out, per se. They just kind of ignored us for a couple hours, which was very unusual, I guess. But we got so much done.
I think we might need to do a segment on restaurants where you can do that.
Yes,
successfully.
In Sonoma County. That'd be amazing. I like that.
All right. We'll be back soon with our guest on our comfort. Honor, thank you so much for joining us here at The Good Stuff, where we celebrate all things Sonoma County wine.
Well, those are all good things to celebrate. Virginie, thank you so much for having me. And Carissa, it's always so great to be with you.
So fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were talking about some random afternoon that you both shut down a restaurant. And I'm wondering, but so much was accomplished. So,
yeah. That's a great, great memory. The dynamic duo. Hard
exactly.
at work.
Exactly. I know. That's right. The dynamic duo.
It was, you know, we sat down for lunch at Ume, one of our favorite sushi places.
The secret is now out.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry. I wanted to throw them a little love for their extended service protocol.
For their hospitality.
Yeah. Great hospitality. Chris and I, we had a lunch meeting over sushi, and we were covering everything and having a great, deep conversation, far-ranging, as we were wont to do. And we were, you know, through with lunch, and all of a sudden we realized we hadn't actually seen our server in about 45 minutes. And they graciously let us just keep sitting there, continuing to meet. We had, I think, like spreadsheets and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Multiple laptops probably going. Big ideas. Mapping stuff out.
Yep. And then after 5 o'clock, they came back up to us and said, well, would you like another glass
of wine? Or water.
Glass of wine. Anyway, it was pretty epic. That was one of our classics.
I know. That was pretty funny. I was did they actually close the restaurant? I'm like, oh, they're over there enjoying their lunch right now. I feel like I should be offering them some water or something as a thank you. I don't know what to do.
But that was such a great example. We worked so closely together.
Yes.
And, you know, as you were just saying, how our organizations that represent our growers and our vintners, how the organizations themselves work together and collaborate. You know, it's one of the things that we hear all the time, right? When we bring media and trade and other guests here to Sonoma County in particular, they talk about the sense of cooperation and collaboration between our vintners and growers, and we hear that all the time. Yeah. And it really is unique to our culture. And I think,
absolutely.
You know, for so many different reasons. I think partly maybe because it's such a big place.
Yeah.
So we need to work together.
And there's such a unique partnership, too. I mean, we talk a lot about how, you know, a number of our grape growers are just, I don't want to say just, they are farmers only.
And absolutely.
So they rely on the partnership and the passion that their partner winemakers have buy the grapes and want to craft the wines. And likewise, it allows winemakers to come here and say, okay, I don't necessarily have to own a vineyard. I can develop these relationships with some of the local farmers and get great grapes and make the wine I want to make. And so I think that, like, at its core, that relationship and partnership that happens here in our region, just at the root of what we do, and then extends into how we talk about and promote and work together to really elevate the region overall.
Yeah. I totally agree. You know, one of the things we talk about a lot is that having a healthy tension in the grower-winemaker relationship with, you know, in some regions, they're almost at odds, right? Because wine growers, you know, they need to sell their grapes at the highest price. Winemakers are trying to deal, you know, with managing their costs and so forth. But I think that what's really at the heart of this positive relationship is a mutual respect.
Yes.
And that is essential. And the winemakers recognize not only how hard the growers work, I mean, we all work hard in this industry, but the respect that our growers have for the land, for where they're situated, the this desire for learning and improvement, always doing it better. You know, it's so interesting. I remember talking with Rod Berglund a long time ago, and he was
the Rodfather.
Rodfather
from Joseph
and,
Swan.
Yeah, exactly. And he was also thinking, remembering back when some of the first vineyards were being planted for Pinot Noir in Russian River Valley, right? When the Rocchiolis pulled out some green beans, I believe is what he said, and planted Pinot Noir
way back
in their first block. And but that then sparked this real desire to learn, and that some of this development didn't happen that long ago.
Right.
But we have come
so far.
And so our winemakers recognize that, and the growers appreciate that. So
I'm just chuckling. Rocchioli green beans just doesn't have the same sort of finesse as Rocchioli Pinot Noir, Sauv Blanc, Chardonnay. You know,
that was a good day when that happened.
Oh, yeah, it was a really good day for the community and wine lovers everywhere. Right?
So many pioneers in so many parts of this county have helped advance the cause.
So, Honor, go back though, because you were at Sonoma County Vintners, where I first met you for a number of years. But you have kind of a long history in marketing and wine. So, who are you? Where are you from?
Well, I am a California girl through and through, born and raised in California. So. With what I do now, I mean, honestly, I can't think of anything better than representing the wines of the Golden State all around the world, and not just the wines, but of course the people behind them. Mm-hmm. But my background, my BA is actually in art history, and I always say that, you know, wine and art have more in common than they don't, and that marketing wine and marketing art is actually very similar. So before I got into wine, I worked at the Art Institute of Chicago, and my whole focus there was helping to connect people, introduce people to the art museum, and expanding our audiences. So it's very similar to what
very
I do
relevant.
Now.
Right? Yeah, very relevant.
But really, I only like to work with and in things that I love, and so art and wine go hand in hand, of course, and then food and cooking and, you know.
All those things.
Great people.
All those things that go together.
We
talk about that all the time. Food, but, wine, people. What's not?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
My husband and I, we moved up here in June of 2000, believe it or not. And we purchased our small property in Dry Creek Valley that had a small vineyard on it. And we did not intend to purchase a vineyard. But we were thrilled when we did. It was this really cool, great vineyard at the time. It was 60-year-old Cabernet.
Wow.
That then someone had interplanted with Zinfandel.
Oh, of course. And as they do.
Yeah,
as
they
in
do.
Those days,
exactly.
For sure.
Well,
I think that just happens in Dry Creek.
I know.
So crazy. The rows were so wide. They were so far apart that they had room to interplant in the Zinfandel. But it was so funny because I always describe that vineyard as like a trellis museum. No joke. There was like almost every single type of trellising in there. And that when we planted it, the Zin was maybe 4 years old, and it was like skinny little pencils, right? Yeah. In between this massive cab on St. George rootstock. And then we ended up the cab, it was delicious. It was really distinct. It had this great unique character, that fruit, but the vines, the cab was so old by that point, had a lot of Eutypa and Pierce's disease and so we ripped it all out, and by the time we ripped it out, maybe 10 years later, I'm not kidding, the Zinfandel was still these skinny little pencils, like that never expanded beyond that. But we ended up replanting it to Fiano, to an Italian white variety.
And that was a little crazy.
I was going to say, that was a while back. Not typical.
No, it was a while back. There was, I'm sure this will come as a surprise to many people, significant family debate around what we planted.
We could do Chardonnay or Sauv Blanc, but no.
No, exactly. And so I actually really wanted to plant Sauvignon Blanc because I think that that site would be great for it. But my husband and then also Dan, my stepson, our winemaker, they were really, really adamant about doing something different. And then our daughter-in-law, Barbara, she has Italian heritage and deep Italian roots. Her family has been growing and making wine here for generations. Anyway, so we sort of wanted to, you know, have a nod to her as well and make it all a family thing. And so that's how we ended up with the Fiano. And then also, you know, some of it is like, what's the rootstock that you can get?
For sure. I know that's the other thing. We all have big dreams and visions, and then it's like, what's available? You don't even consider kind of what your options are really at that time.
There's always
a limiting factor.
Absolutely. And we just harvested on Sunday, and we picked it, and then we foot stomped it in the winery, let it soak overnight.
Old school.
I know. Totally, right? Like, what's old is new again. And all I could think about is I had my rubber boots on, and I was trying to figure out, like, the best technique for actually, like, crushing the fruit.
It's a good workout.
Wow, we really, like, if this is technological advancement in winemaking, like, long way to go.
We spend so much time talking about innovation, and then we just bring it right back to where we
started.
Yeah,
which is cool,
it's
right?
cool.
That's
it's always
the
a
best
balance.
Part. It's always a balance.
And there's really not a right answer.
There isn't. And also, I mean, so much of it is that we do those things because they work. They work well, right?
Yeah.
And it was a great approach. And
So what sort of reception have you had to your Fiano? Do you have to explain to people what it is why they should like it? And
yes.
And how you spell it.
Yes.
Just like certain pieces of art, you have to explain that.
Exactly. It's like piano, but with an F. That's the way we always describe it. And our first vintage, so this is our second harvest, so our first vintage is still in barrel, but we're getting ready to bottle that hopefully in December, which we're really excited about.
Nice.
It was nice after we just crushed on Sunday, then we tasted the first vintage in barrel, right? Had a little sort of full circle thing.
A little toast.
Yeah, so people, they don't know what to expect. Many. Right, most consumers. And so we use that as an entry point for talking about many of the different varieties. Often here, we find a lot of Italian varieties tend to do really well. You know, it's interesting, you could have a whole conversation with Ridgely at Davvero about that at some point. We use it as a great opportunity to talk about site and how different varieties expressed differently in different sites and all the elements that go into that, but also as a way to explore and expand your palate in this gorgeous world of wine. And it's fun. We make two Italian varieties under our small Daniel wine label. One of them we're going to be tasting a little bit.
I'm already eyeing it.
I know. And so the Fiano will be a second one. And what we find as a small producer is by bringing something interesting and a little bit unknown and unexpected to the marketplace, that's a really important way for us to connect with our consumers so that we're not just making and pouring what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. So either an unusual variety and or from a really unusual and distinctive place.
That was really fun. We had our Hillsburg Wine and Food Experience last May when Real was here. We were hosting our SOM education, and we did a whole seminar. We had 10 winemakers, kind of harkening back to our days of doing Sonoma in the City sort of education. And they each got 2 minutes to talk, and it was about a varietal wine that was not one of the top seven varietals from Sonoma County. So nose in, I mean, we even left out Syrah because that even, holds more core. It's like holds,
10.
So, and it was so fun for everyone because, I mean, you're like, what is this? What have you tried it? And then the fact that we can grow all of that here in Sonoma County and have winemakers interested in crafting wines from it is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's part of our story here.
Absolutely. And the fact that we are up against the cold Pacific Ocean and all of that cool coastal influence, but then also sandwiched between the Mayacamas, right? And so we get some great... sort of that eastern edge is a little bit warmer, and with the incredible soil diversity, the range of elevation and sites, we have so much to work with here in Sonoma County. We're so lucky.
You're saying that, and I'm having these flashbacks and me trying to take notes on things you were saying in like the first 6 months in this job, because I was like, that's brilliant. Oh yes,
Pacific Ocean,
the influence of the Pacific Ocean, and wait, the tectonic plates moved, and we had all
diurnal shifts.
Wow. I'm like must look that up, ever been able to like articulate Sonoma County, what makes it so special, and I would take notes. I would like, oh, I'm gonna have to remember that, commit that to memory. So
I have two words for you: quick study.
Oh, there you go.
You
thank
are
you.
Amazing. You know it.
So funny. Oh my gosh, especially the hand motions, like, because I clearly just rolled right with those because I can't not talk with my hands, even here on a radio show where no one's seeing me. So
do you get a sense, just, and we can come back to this after the break as well, but do you get a sense in your work for the Wine Institute that California and Sonoma County specifically is understood as a place that offers a lot of diversity?
No, that is a great leading question, and the answer is no, it is not well understood.
Oh.
However, there's a huge amount of curiosity, and that's what's exciting. And you know, the farther away you get from California and the continental U.S., the less well known, the less understood it is by not just by wine consumers and wine lovers, but also by the trade, by sommeliers, by buyers, by importers, and a lot of that has to do with the. Really, it comes back to the volume of wine that's made here in California that is sold outside of the United States. And we can talk more about that. But it is really not well known. But there, as I said, there's a huge amount of curiosity. And, you know, I love what you were just talking about with the, you know, tasting of the seven varieties that aren't you know, outside of the top seven, right? And that we're finding that lines up so much with consumer interest and curiosity about wines. And we're seeing that all around the world. People are looking to find something new, and it's fun to be able to bring them a new option.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we have clearly so much more to talk about with Honor Comfort. We are back on The Good Stuff today with Virginie Boone and Carissa Cruz and our guests, Honor Comfort. When we left, we were talking about kind of this dilemma that California has. There's so much more education to be done around the world, which is a big part of your role at the Wine Institute. So give us a little bit more of that explanation. I mean, why don't people understand kind of the diversity that we have here?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I mean, it really all starts with the fact that we, here in California, we are, in the United States, we're sitting smack in the middle of the single largest wine-consuming market in the world. So what that means is that everyone wants to sell their wines here in the United States, including our producers. So even though California produces basically 80% of the wine that is, 80% of the U.S. wine that's consumed here in the U.S., and the vast majority of wines overall that are consumed in the U.S., including imports, only 3% of all of California wine is sold outside of the U.S.
Oh, I did not know that stat. Now I'm taking notes. I will be repeating that statistic soon.
Yeah. So it's pretty remarkable. And that's because we have such a strong audience here and there's a lot of demand, and people in the U.S. know California wines. They love California wines. They understand it. They can come here. They know how to read the label. That's true.
Yeah.
And as I'm certain you can appreciate, Carissa, with many of our producers here in Sonoma County, because we have so many small producers.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Many of them even sell their wines just in California.
Right.
So it sort of works against us. But one of the important things about all of this is that there are important and influential wine buyers all around the world. So just as we live here in Sonoma County and we love and drink and enjoy California and Sonoma County wines all the time, I also like to drink wines from other wine regions, from other parts of the world. I also travel around the world, and so it sort of is the same everywhere. So it's important for our wines and our wineries to be featured and prominent at key accounts, whether they're retail or restaurants or with collectors or in the cellars of these key wine buyers everywhere, because that helps elevate the presence of California and Sonoma County wines, and that elevates the value, right? And that's really what it all comes down to.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to mention, because I think it's in Sonoma County, one of our, the ways we work with the Wine Institute the closest is with the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance. So the joint venture you have with COG, the California Association of Wine Grape Growers, for sustainability and sustainability certification. But really, I think that's an interesting place I've observed where California's really been leading the way is on sustainable farming and thinking about regenerative agriculture and sort of the unique role. And I think we were talking a little before we started the show just about some upcoming opportunities to promote Sonoma County and California broadly kind of on the road. I think you get to go to Italy. Is that what I heard? I know. I'm salivating already because I do also love to visit other wine regions because I think it's important.
Well, it is. It's hugely important. And it's one of the ways that we learn, right?
Absolutely.
And we can also more fully appreciate what we're doing here in California and Sonoma County by seeing what's going on elsewhere. And, you know, we were talking earlier about this incredible collaboration that we have between our wine growers and our vintners. And that same collaboration and sharing of ideas and concepts happens globally, and it's hugely important, right? Because we're all dealing with some of the same issues.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Like
increasingly.
Yeah. So challenges with our climate where they may be expressed differently in different locations, we're all dealing with it.
Yep.
We all ship wine all around the world, just as I was saying, right? Yeah. Everyone's shipping wine here, so we need to deal with that and packaging and so forth. So how we share ideas and how we learn from other regions is really valuable, as well as building the image and the value for our wines internationally. So we were actually invited to bring a small delegation of winemakers to Barolo, to the heart of Piemonte. And this is the, it's called the Strada del Barolo. It's the consortium or the alliance for wine growers in Barolo.
Carissa is booking her ticket right now, so you know. She's writing down the date.
Totally.
So, looking online.
My calendar.
I got your flight.
It's a rough job, but someone's got to do it, right? And they have invited winemakers from Champagne previously and from Bordeaux, and also from Burgundy, but this is the first time they reached out to California.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a really big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's a really big deal.
That's a really big deal.
And we're really excited. We have four winemakers joining us. We have two from Sonoma County, so Ted Lemon with Litterai is joining us, and then Alan Ramey with Ramey Wine Cellars, also here in Sonoma County. And then we have Kathy Corison from over in Napa Valley with Corison Winery, and David Chili, who's the winemaker for Promontory. And Promontory is with Harlan, one of the groups over there. So all four of them are coming. We also have Deborah Parker Wong, who's joining us as a moderator, and we're going to be leading a few sessions, one a tasting and an education session just for the winemakers and producers in Barolo, and that goes both ways. So we get to taste their wines.
Darn. Yeah, tough day. Tough day for Honor.
And she promises she's going to bring some back.
Oh, yeah.
For
mm-hmm.
us. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be there.
I'll be there, but we'll bring some back for you.
Yeah, we should recreate this tasting.
Well, we could do that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? And then we will be sharing some of our wines. And then the next day we have a conference, which will be interesting, really digging into sustainability.
Yeah.
And, of course, sustainability is critical to us here in Sonoma County, but also across the whole state, and it's a great opportunity for us to be able to talk about some of the practices that our winemakers and our wine growers are putting into play right now, but even more importantly, looking ahead. And one of the things that isn't well understood is how much of a leader California is overall within the world of viticulture and winemaking in sustainability.
Yeah, and I also appreciate, I was at a FIVS meeting, which is essentially the Global Wine Trade Association, and we were actually talking about trying to figure out another industry that's proactively embraced sustainability, and we couldn't come up with one. Most of them have come into sustainable practices because they were trying to right something that they were doing that was causing a negative impact, where the wine industry and grape growing really did it because it was the right thing to do, and we're doing it proactively for decades now. I mean, this isn't a new concept. And so I really appreciate that. And I think that's not something we get to, I want to say, frankly, that they get credit enough for about being forward thinking in that way. And as an industry, and certainly in California leading, and as you know, near and dear to my heart, our commitment at Sonoma County Wine Growers on sustainable farming and all the sort of pilots we have going on regenerative agriculture and looking at, you know, increasing organic soil matter and doing more, you know, carbon sequestration, all of those things that make for a better ecosystem yeah. to farm and to live, frankly.
It's so It's so important. And I give huge credit to our vintners and our growers. And you're right, it started more than 30 years ago when growers and winemakers together got together, right? Along with some other potentially uncomfortable bedfellows, right? And started to, they recognized the need that we needed to plan ahead. One of the things that really started some of this thinking was recognizing water as a critical issue for California. But then going from there, and then the climate change, as we all know, has really accelerated and become so much more dynamic. And all of these efforts in terms of mitigating our carbon emissions. And most importantly, it's about ensuring that we can continue well into the future to grow the high quality fruit and make these beautiful wines that we depend on and that we all enjoy.
And it's, especially with the backdrop, I think, of our multi-generational family farmers, right? So when you get together 30 years ago, yes, all those things are important, but you're also thinking about, I want to make sure there's a farm here for my kids or my grandkids.
That's almost more symbolic than any other kind of graphics or data that you could share is that this is how we have survived three
it's
or four
emotional.
Generations.
Absolutely. Yeah. An emotional connection.
And planning ahead for those next generations. Absolutely. 100%. And I think in wine, I think, you know, coming back to your comment about the fact that wine has really led in this. Mm-hmm. And within the state, wine, within the whole agricultural community, wine is recognized for the leadership that we've taken. Yeah. And I think part of that is because by our very nature, we have to look so far ahead, right? You know, you plant a vineyard, you don't really even see fruit until six years.
It's not a small decision.
No, and then 10 years until you really have your first wines off of that vineyard, especially if it's a red variety. Like we're working, we work in decades. So I think that that's all been hugely important.
So important.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break and we will be back to talk a little bit more with Honor Comfort. Thank you. So welcome back to The Good Stuff. When we left Honor, we were talking about the work that you do with Wine Institute and trying to convey the sustainability message that is so important to the wine industry. It's certainly important to Sonoma County. And I imagine it's got to be more and more important to all these global buyers that you meet with.
Yes, it really is. And, you know, I need to give a huge shout out and a lot of credit to Allison Jordan, my colleague at Wine Institute, as she is our head of environmental affairs, but she's also, she leads the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance, which is this partnership between the growers and the vintners across the whole state. It's been really interesting seeing how important sustainability is, and not only sustainability, but certification to buyers and customers, particularly in Europe, but also in Canada, but growing rapidly in other parts of the world as well. And there's so much, you know, you started out, Virginie, by asking me about, you know, is it understood? Like, is California understood? It isn't, but even less well understood is sustainability. And all of the different programs that fall under that. And that's one of the things that we really focus on.
And I have to interrupt you because she asked a hard question just as you were about to open the wine. And so I don't know why she was distracting
like
you.
I was
just like
that.
So pull the cork.
Okay, I love the cork.
The bottle of wine. Come on. I've been waiting the whole show. Right. She's been like teasing us.
Our next show will just be us popping corks. Okay.
Like, we call it nothing but the good stuff wine hour.
Wine hour. All wine, no talk. All, hour. All wine.
Well, I'm opening right now our.
Yes.
Bottle of.
I've been waiting. Bravo.
Daniel.
I'm sorry that I delayed.
So this is our brand Daniel. And this is our 2022 Vernaccia. So
Vernaccia.
I'm very excited about this.
That just sounds fun. It makes me want to like clap my hands and dance. Vernaccia.
Yeah. So Vernaccia is a variety that is most closely associated with San Gimignano.
I was going to say that. That was what was really just on the tip of my tongue.
I saw you write it down.
Yeah.
However, this wine is not from Tuscany. This is from Los Carneros, and it is from a great vineyard that's farmed by Sue Smith. She's the grower. It's a fantastic story. Her dad was actually stationed in Italy during World War II, and during that time, he fell in love with the wines of Italy. Later in life, he went back to Italy and specifically to search out some of his favorite wines. And he may or may not have brought some vine material back
with
him.
He did. Let's just
like so many did not. I mean did.
Exactly. And so he planted his whole vineyard with all these different Italian varieties. Well, Sue then took over the vineyard and since that was quite a while ago, some of those vines were no longer viable, so they were replanted. But she held on to this block, which is the Vernaccia. And as we understand it, it is one of, if not the only, Vernaccia that's grown not only here in Sonoma County, but in California.
I feel like it's like Sauvignon Blanc meets Viognier.
It
has like the brightness of the Sauvignon Blanc, yeah, but it still has like the tropical flavors I get out of like a Viognier. Or
it's amazingly good, and I think
I don't know. I was just smacked with that.
I do think there's just so much room for more white wines out of California, and certainly Sonoma County. We can grow so many types here, and I love the Italian connection because we have followed much more of a French path in Sonoma and in California in general. And it's great to see some of these other varieties that we know do well.
Yeah. I totally agree. And Dan was just talking about this vintage and that it was a perfect vintage. So the fruit was gorgeous. It's racy. It's fresh. It's super
fresh.
Mineral.
Yeah.
Right. I know. Isn't it delicious? And you know, that section of Carneros.
Why did you deny me for 45 minutes? There's
I'm thinking this conversation is racy and fresh.
Why?
But yeah.
Well, where this fruit is grown in Carneros, that land was all under seawater many millennia ago. And so those marine qualities, those marine minerals, some saline components, that's still in there. And you get a little bit of that in this wine. So you get this lovely savory quality. And I love that about this variety. And it's Vernaccia, which is not very familiar to people, but it's a great option. It's a great alternative.
Well, thank you so much for bringing it. And thank you so much for the conversation. We're clearly going to have Honor back like once a month, maybe.
Totally. She can be a regular.
I think so. You're going to be a regular guest because we need to taste the Fiano, clearly.
Definitely.
Yes.
And, you know, you can find, I'll just put a plug in,
please.
DanielWines.com. Anyway, thank you guys. This was way too fun. And we have a lot more wines to taste together.
A lot more to talk about.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Probably not a surprise if you've been hearing Honor and Virginie and I speaking that Honor and I were able to shut down a restaurant and reopen it all on the same day because we couldn't stop talking and planning. So super great to have Honor Comfort joining us from the Wine Institute to learn more about all the amazing things the Wine Institute does for California wines and takes us on the road around the world. Go to thewineinstitute.org and you can find all the things about sustainability and the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance through that link, and as well as what Honor specifically focuses on, which is the international business and export, so Cal Export area. So go there for all the news. And as we wrap up, so that went fast.
I know.
That went really fast. So, but
we only drank one bottle.
We only drank not even the whole bottle.
Okay.
I was trying to keep it. They don't know what's in the bottle and what's left. That's they true. Can't see. So don't give us away. But we need to do our Tuesday night wine. So just to remind everyone out there, this show is inspired by Drink the Good Stuff, encouraging everyone to not wait to pull the corks on good bottles of wine or enjoy your life or book that vacation or wear your favorite shirt. Just do it. Life is short. Enjoy every moment that you can. And inspired by that, we share what we drink on Tuesday nights because you should be drinking your best wines on Tuesday night. So what's on tap this week for you?
Well, I love the white wine theme that we've been talking about and touching on
today. I was going to do that too. Wait a minute. Okay, fine.
That's why we're on the show together.
Perfect.
I really love Leo Steen's wines. He is kind of a specialist in Chenin Blanc. He's just released the 2022 Chenin Blanc from Saini Farms, going back to Dry Creek Valley. Great wine. He sort of uses a more South African approach to his winemaking, and they're just great wines. Just
I haven't really heard of that South African approach to making wines.
Well,
we could totally do a whole show on that.
We can
That's
do.
Actually interesting.
But you know, this is where Chenin grows the most in the world is South Africa, so it has a lot of influence.
I love it. Well, I'm going to do a nod to one of our previous guests, Duff Bevel, who's farmer extraordinaire and who we call the godfather of sustainability here in Sonoma County. But he was growing some wonderful Viognier that made it over to Lambert Bridge, and I have two coveted bottles of the 2018 Viognier left in my cellar. So I'm going to pull a cork on one of those and stay on the white wine theme as well. So there you go.
That sounds really good.
Sounds like some good Tuesday nights. Because what's not to love about a Tuesday night and a great bottle of wine?
I agree. Well, thank you for joining us on the Good Stuff Hour today, rightly named. Thank you to our guests, Honor Comfort, for joining us in the lively conversation that we will have to continue. And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, Carissa and I hope you always remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.